We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another special edition of House of Hoosier podcast here on the Field of 68 podcast network, ahead of a very big weekend for Indiana hoops. The Purdue game coming up on Tuesday. The first one will be in Assembly Hall, Wisconsin following that. But we're going to focus on Tuesday. This is coming out. That'll be tonight when you guys are viewing this. We're here with Casey Bartley of the Old Gold Show, who is one of the hosts of the Purdue team podcast for Field of 68. And always alongside Austin Platt, I'm Ben Haller. But Casey, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Appreciate the invite. Looking forward to the conversation.
Casey, I guess if we're thinking about Purdue here, a fantastic start to the year. We all have to say 15-2. The biggest piece, of course, of this Purdue puzzle is the big seven-footer, Zach Edey. National Player of the Year returning is something really unheralded until the past few years. But for you so far this year, what's the biggest difference or maybe improvement you have seen from him, which allowed him to kind of take that extra step? He's been so dominant so far. What do you think has caused him to be even more successful than last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to point to anything particular just because his stats were so good last year, but definitely the way he's moving the ball this year, it's a lot more intentional. It's a lot quicker. He's reacting more strongly to double teams and knows where the ball needs to go. He's had a couple flyer games where he's had some turnovers, but the ball is leaving the post in a way that it did not last year. And that on top of Purdue, you know, actually making shots around him has made this offense even tougher to defend and him in the post even more impossible.
Hey, Casey, we're going to jump to a point in the season for Purdue that always seems like the best part of the season for Purdue. That's those MTEs, the multi-team events. Early, you guys went to the Maui and had a very successful weekend. You had three wins over, at the time, three top 11 teams in Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Marquette. You're talking about Zach Edey and kind of coming into his own. How big was that weekend for Purdue and getting the season jump started?
I mean, it's obviously good. I think what's good about it is those kind of wins piled up. Like, Purdue will have to hurt itself a lot to not be their preferred number one seed in the tournament. So if you're talking actual, like, things that are going to help, it's when a bunch of dudes are in a room trying to figure out where Purdue stacks up resume-wise. They're going to look at those three games and be like, they're going to have their choice. They're going to get a play in Indianapolis and Detroit. It's weird because, like, mentally, this team has really, from day one, believed they were the best team in the country. They're going to win a national title. That didn't waver before that tournament. It didn't change any after. It didn't change after Northwestern lost. Didn't change after Nebraska. So I don't think internally, they know the headlines. They were in the game. They know that nothing matters during the season until March comes. They're all very aware of that. So personally, I don't think it changes a whole bunch. It didn't prove anything to them. Last year, Portland proved to them that they were, you know, one of the best teams in the country. This year, they already knew. So those things are just helpful because when you're, you know, looking who's going to get their preferred path, Purdue's going to be in Indianapolis for those first two games in March, and that's pretty big.
you know, what else is big is the fact that, you know, two of your guards are now sophomores and have a year under their belt. Mm-hmm. It felt like last year the reason why Purdue couldn't go as far as they anticipated or even make it one round was because just the two guards were freshmen. What have you seen from Braden Smith and Fletcher Laura? Both, in my eyes, have made huge jumps. But for you, for both of them, why have they been so successful, which makes Zach Edey and the rest of the team all that much better?
Yeah, a lot of it is, it's certainly mental, just like knowing what to expect, what you need to do to get your body right. Braden came into his freshman year having Lance Frank surgery during the summer. He didn't really get to work out or get in shape. Fletcher Laurier ended his freshman year with calves that were just torn apart. And this year they both came in ready, hungry, knowing what they needed to do to keep their bodies and everything. And then just it's little stuff like, and they still struggle with it at times. Turnovers. Lawyer just had two careless ones at Nebraska that were terrible. Smith is at times just plays off too, like gets off the floor and gets in bad spots. That's still there, but it's less. And I really think for Smith specifically, who really makes the engine of the offense run, just his ownership of it. And he's more willing to take over as a scorer as well as, you know, being the premier playmaker in the Big Ten.
One of the things that's impressed me the most about Purdue this season, and once again, I can go back to the Maui and look at it, and it's proven even in those few games, is you guys, Purdue's been just a different variety of teams, totally different style teams that are, you know, at the opposite ends of the spectrum. It's back-to-back days. You beat a Tennessee team that's very defensive, a very physical Tennessee team, but you're still able to come out, score 71 points on them. The next day, you play a very high-powered offensive team in Marquette. Not a very big team, but a team that shoots the ball really well and scores a lot. What about this Purdue team makes it so versatile?
First of all, that Tennessee game was garbage. It was barely basketball with the way the refs called it. Honestly, I think it helps Purdue because anytime teams come in with a personal style, they're going to play that style. And Purdue generally is going to do well. It's when teams, like when they just sell out and 100% go to just try to muck things up for Purdue, what Fairleigh Dickinson did. It's what Nebraska and Hoiberg always does. Northwestern wasn't quite like that because Purdue's offense worked fine then. It just, they made shots. But these teams that stick to what they do, it's so hard to get through Edey and around Edey. Like, if you're just playing normal basketball against it, like Arizona just played their defense and they got ran out the gym until they tried something crazy and zoned up. I think if you're playing Purdue normal, you're in trouble. Unless your normal is like super crazy pressure with big guards, like you're just going to have a hard time. The ED is just too good. So yeah, I think they're just, ED is just holds the team up from a floor standpoint that no one else can really count.
Purdue's had, obviously, we talk about the guys that are back for another year and taking big strides, but Trey Kaufman-Wren has been such a big addition mm-hmm. to the squad, kind of adding that extra big, and we know Indiana loves to go out with two big lineups. What's the addition? How much has that impacted the team, helped Edey out, and how do you, I guess, you see the two of them faring against Indiana's big men when this game is played tonight at Assembly Hall?
You guys are being really nice, by the way.
I mean,
not near the vitriol.
Look at the state of Purdue basketball. Look at the state of Indiana basketball.
We're Indiana guys. Of course, we're going to be nice.
Yeah, awareness is what I think of with most IU fans.
Until 7 o'clock tonight, we'll be nice.
Right. So Trey, that's a good question because like Trey has really changed the way the floor looks for Purdue because he is another post banger. I think it's the most fascinating part about this game is how do two teams who usually. Part of their edge is that they play two bigs, and there's not many teams that have quality bigs the way that IU and Purdue does. It's still going to be an interesting style conflict because IU has better athletes there, both for new. And I'm forgetting the other guy's name. Cleo Ware are both more athletic, quicker. They can like move around the court better than Purdue guys do. So it's going to be interesting because Trey wants to hit you. He wants to back you down. He wants to get into these weird triple pump fake turnaround. He works his post game like in the reverse fashion that you think he would, and like he moves in weird ways. So I think it's just hard because there's not teams that have usually one guy that can handle a post player. Definitely not two guys. But IU does have that length, so it'll be interesting. It's also not been the cleanest fit all year. Like Trey has struggled at times. I think when it's been good, it's been really good. But Purdue's best lineup is still generally with Mason Gillis at the four.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Overall, obviously, a great season for Purdue last year. You get the Big Ten regular season title, the Big Ten tournament title. Couple of dings, you know, aside from the biggest being losing to FDU, being the second team to ever lose to a 16 seed, you also got swept by your biggest rival in Indy.
This is when the meme goes. Okay.
I'm being more passive about it, though. I'm not going straight up. I'm not really question form. But Indiana fans would be mad if I didn't sneak it in there.
Right.
With that being said, does this game mean a little more to Purdue this year than it has in recent years?
I don't think the players would say that. I definitely think for fans. Absolutely. I think they got pretty used to beating IU. The 12 out of 13 was pretty nice. I think especially because last year IU did such a good job of picking at Purdue in two of its weaknesses, like Hood Shifino's ability to just dissect the pick and roll and just play out of that mid area that just attacked Edie's weakness. I think it was a foreshadow to kind of what happened in a couple games later on in the season. I think like we're in this weird transition, right? Where like Purdue is announcing itself, trying to knock in like Trey. I was talking to Trey Kaufman Wren today and you know, he's a young guy. And he told me, he's like, it's weird. First of all, he said he didn't know Purdue was a school before they started recruiting him. His focus was on Louisville and Kentucky. Not big in the college basketball scene.
I'm sure Indiana fans are going to love that too.
Right. IU wasn't on his radar either. So it's but to him, like, he's like, it's weird. Cause I think of Purdue the way people think of Blue Bloods. Like, they are the elite of elite. They've been number one three seasons in a row. I think if Purdue fans are honest, it feels a little fake if that whole time they're getting swept by IU.
That's nice to think about. You know, we can be nice to you guys until either you lose to Indiana or March rolls around. That's kind of cool.
You guys can be, I mean, I know this is our podcast, but you can be mean to us too. It's a two-way rivalry.
I don't like to punch down.
Fair enough. let's talk about Purdue, obviously, just two losses this year, both on the road to teams that have played well at home this year. We know Indiana stinks on the road. You probably don't even have to watch those games to just look at the box score and realize. But for at least in your mind, Casey, what has been the difference for Purdue in these true road games? And I guess the reasons why they lost to Nebraska and Northwestern, maybe other than the turnovers.
Well, I've got bad news for you guys. Those teams shot threes and made them. So like that's an important piece of an upset usually. It's weird. So what I'm going to say is going to sound more like an excuse at first, because Purdue's lost two games, and in each of those games, there were at least two players that had career nights against them. I mean, you can argue Boo Booey, like that's just what he does, but the shots he was making was insane. 30 points against that team. They had two other shooters go off for career nights. And then Nebraska, Tominaga did what he does, and Wilcher went crazy from three. Now, the other side of that is, why does Purdue keep letting all these guys have career nights against them? And the defensive performance, especially against Nebraska, against Northwestern too, is just, they're not as connected as they need to be right now. So I think it's definitely defense. Purdue's offense hasn't crumbled the way it did last season, because there were times last year IU did it to them to where the offense just looked bad, but the defense has shown cracks. Now, three-point line is that like weird circle, half circle thing. I don't know if like, has Woodson erased it? Is it still there?
Yeah, it actually is still on the court. They've been hitting recently at higher clips than they were.
They're just not taking them. It's so weird.
Yeah. No, the point in the season, when Big Ten play started, they were dead last in NCAA Division One,
right,
and proportions of points that come from the 3-point line.
Yeah, I think you guys are up to like what, 320 now?
Maybe
climbing.
Pop the champagne.
It's an Indiana team that has played, stepped up their competition last year in terms of when it got to this Purdue game, especially in that 3-point line like you talked about. But you got to stop Edie. That's one of the biggest things. It's not as much stopping Edie, it's containing Edie and making sure he doesn't have a career best game. He's been pretty consistent this year, but it hasn't been all 20-point games. In his worst games, what have teams done to stop him?
Not play normal basketball. Like, Nebraska is, if I'm a team wanting to beat Purdue and Edie, I just watch Fred Hoiberg create a defense. And it doesn't always, it didn't work at Mackey last year. They still lost by 20. But, both those road games are just, first of all, you have to be shameless about it. You have to foul him every second that he doesn't have the ball, because that's your best chance of not getting a foul called against him. Still a pretty good chance you're not going to get a foul called against you if you're pushing him while he's shooting too, but that's a different complaint. But you have to have two guys doubling him at all times, because he's taking up that space in the middle anyway. So Purdue can't really use it as much as you would want. And they've been a little suspect on making just simple plays to beat that. And then I don't just hope a little, you have to hope he gets frustrated enough that, because he can beat you offensive rebounding if he's not getting the ball. Because when you're double tripling like that, all of a sudden your defensive rebound sets, you're out of position. And so it's you've got to get away a little bit with contact early. You've got to be able to just double triple team him, make those entry passes hard, and you have to force some turnovers off that. Because when he gets the ball, Purdue's going to be efficient. So you just have to have enough plays that you can turn it around turnover-wise to make up for it.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
You talked about opponents getting career nights. I wonder who on Indiana is due for necessarily a career
if
night.
You say Galloway.
Anthony Leal.
Galloway already had one against Kansas this year, so I think he's kind of met his big game quota. And Bacco has looked better as of late. Maybe it's Xavier Johnson's revenge game against a team that he knows a little bit well. The question I was going to ask curious, you talked about the pressure, how much the guys are feeling. You think the fans are going to want this win. What about for Matt Painter? I know he's a fantastic coach. We know that. One of the best regular season teams he's had in a long, long time. They haven't lost a non-conference game. I don't know, Ben, were you even alive the last time they lost a non-conference game, if we're being real here? But how much pressure do you think about him to win this game?
So it's the same curse that nothing matters during the season because of the March lack of success. That's kind of the protection during the season. Because, like, it won't look good during the regular season if Purdue gets swept by IU again. But if they go to the Final Four, no one's going to care. So, like, it's kind of bulletproofing in that fashion. And he's not a guy who gets super worked up. Like, he'll get mad because he'll get a game behind the Big Ten. Like, they want to win the Big Ten. As much as he knows this rivalry and everything, Matt Painter is ascended to a level of peace that we can only hope to get to.
You know, you asked me if Indiana had replaced the three-point line, and that's a pretty smart comeback. I haven't heard that a ton, but I did want to ask a basic question if Painter wanted to erase all the national championship banners and Mackey or
were you alive for any of them?
No, not me, but Austin thinks he's so much older than me, he'll try to tell you who was.
Not quite.
There's dust on those older than both of you.
Hey, dusty banners are better than no banners. Indiana, I know, selling a shirt that says that. But, no, I wanted to ask, we talked about having to contain Edie. And last year in the home game, at least for Indiana, they really didn't. I think he scored somewhere in the high 20s. I mean, it was a classic Trace versus Edie kind of one-on-one masterpiece. Indiana just got the better home court advantage, helped. Is there a matchup this year for Purdue that you like, maybe outside of the post, somewhere in the guards, that gives you confidence for Purdue?
I mean, I don't think IU has a guy that can stick with Smith. Even last year, like, he had pretty good success finding guys. He just kind of got into a couple bad spots on his own, almost, is what it seemed like. I'm going to be really curious how the lineups work. In the back of my head, I think Painter might pull out Gillis at the three, just because Mbako's so big. And if Mbako has to spend a bunch of time chasing Mason Gillis around the three-point line, I feel pretty good about him getting open. I know Mbako's gotten better, but he's still a true freshman, still has some defensive lapses. So I think Painter is going to try to leverage that at any time that he can. I think it's a tough game for Lawyer because of how much size you guys have just everywhere on the wing. Same for Xavier Johnson a little bit on the offensive side, but yeah, I think Smith getting inside and causing havoc should happen. And I think just tracking Mason Gillis is going to be hard for a defense that hasn't been super connected all year. Which is a boring answer, because he's not a one-on-one guy. So you're not going to like watch him like break someone down. You're just going to be like, why is he open for the 12-3 tonight?
Yeah, I can't wait for that. We know Indiana fans always have fun with Mason Gillis as well. I'm curious with the everyone talks about, at least said last year, when it got to the postseason, the officiating change with Zach Edey. In your mind, kind of with the way he was called, fouling and all the contact down low, what have you seen there? Maybe even this year, kind of what are the trends you're seeing from year to year?
It's not better. It's just – it's so he's gotten in more foul trouble this year. Getting called for fouls, a lot of them rebounds, not even like in defense or chasing someone at the rim. He's almost good to a fault at that. Like, if you challenge him at the rim, he's mostly thinking about not picking up a foul. So it's either an easy block, he knows he can get it, or he's kind of giving you the layup. Good in the long run, frustrating at times, but it's still a problem. Like, it's annoying to have to be that person every game. but like sit at these games, like I hear the contact as it's happening, and you're just like, that man is taking a pounding constantly when he has the ball, when he doesn't have the ball. And there's times where he's like full on being shoved as he's trying to hook shots, and they're just like, play on.
So we've heard a lot about kind of your confidence levels in what you think about the game. And we talked about the sentiment of the fans and how important this game is to Purdue fans. And I know we know Purdue fans can be somewhat delusional at times, but I wanted to ask, what's the general confidence in Purdue, in the fan base of Purdue right now?
Do you think they're optimistically delusional? It took one Nebraska loss for them all to just jump straight back in the river. They're drowning right now again. Every fan base has problems. Purdue's are almost all like trauma based. Will Purdue be annoying if they come out and beat IU at the Assembly Hall again and talk a certain way? Absolutely. That's rivalry. Yeah. So it's hard because right now we're in a state where Purdue's been number one again for the third straight season. In like five words, you could say something to me that I have no comeback for. Just say Fairleigh Dickinson and I have to shut up. There's nothing, like there's no comeback. So like it is a precarious spot to just exist in. Like, yeah. Purdue fans are all just on the just wanting March to happen and wanting to just get out of that first weekend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You talk about fans jumping in the river. I think the Big Ten as a conference right now might just be in the river sinking because of the way it's been this year. I'm curious. We've seen a lot. You know, the home court advantage has played such a big part. I think that the top like seven teams or whatever were undefeated until Illinois lost to Maryland this weekend. What have you seen so far just in the conference as a whole? Why is the home court such a big advantage? And kind of why is Purdue the only team that people can actually trust right now going into the long run? Because it feels like everyone else, Illinois, I know they're good, obviously still without their point guard and had a bad loss. Maybe you don't think they're as good. Don't worry. Illinois and IU fans always just find a way to hit each other. But kind of why is the conference this poor compared to Purdue? Because they're just kind of head and shoulders above everyone else. It's just kind of like Zach Edey, just kind of towering above everybody else.
I don't think there's a bunch of talent in the Big Ten. And I think it's a weird time in college basketball because we're living through these COVID years. So we've got guys that are way older than they should be, and they're able to transfer for free now. And I think NIL has also kind of made a few more people stay. So it's an uncertain time. And then Big Ten for like two decades now, it's like they're not really hitting on like lottery guys. The guards aren't great. Big Ten's kind of gotten by on being weirdly good and a little more respected than they probably should be. I don't think the Big Ten was that good last year. The narrative just hadn't caught up yet. And then Purdue is just in this weird spot where Zach Edey came back. And it's not a whole bunch more than that. I think you could say Painter does a good job of hitting on guys in the 70 to 150 range, 450 range with Edey, but like it's such a hard tight wire to just find guys that are good enough, but not good enough to leave. And Painter's got burned by that a little bit with Jaden Ivey and kept going. But right now I would just say that Purdue hired a coach at the right time and they held on to him at the right time. So you're watching Izzo lose his freaking mind and just slip into the abyss. And you're kind of like IU's in a weird point where they hired a coach who, I know, Woodson's like 73. What, like, how old is he? Like, older guys that are, it's the stuff that Big Ten schools used to hang their hat on. They really can't anymore. And it's a coach's sport and all the coaches are elsewhere besides, well, you can't even say Painter because he hasn't done it in March yet, but everything else is there for his pedigree.
Well, talk about hypotheticals now. You really want Purdue fans to jump in the river. They lose to Indiana tonight at 7 o'clock at Assembly Hall. In that scenario, what does Indiana do well?
I think they rebound surprisingly well. And I think they probably need to get Edie into foul trouble early. And I think it's really a combination of Ware and Renaud being able to move around Edie and kind of like, he's got a tendency to get lost in the action. And if you have a quick big, you can kind of get some easy looks behind him. It probably takes a good Xavier Johnson or Jay Galloway game. One where they get a little hot, and it's probably going to be one where Woodson leans on just the starters. And again, I think there was a game a couple weeks ago where he was like, I just need to play everyone 38 minutes. That's probably the case. Maybe a little less Gabe Cups, just maybe not 38 minutes of him, but yeah, I think a combination of that and then just the length on the wings causing turnovers for Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. They struggle with size. And IU can throw a lot of size at them on the ball.
It's interesting where Indiana goes. The whole Xavier Johnson ejection led to him not playing a lot at Minnesota. When he was on the floor, he was flat out bad. And Mike Woodson said for some reason that he gave good minutes, which I still have to look at that tape. And I'd still probably be looking for something he did well. You talked about guards and not going to the NBA. I'm curious. Did Jalen Hood-Schifino, did that name just escape your mind?
He's really thriving right now in the NBA. He's but no, I mean, like, that's like the cream of the crop. And he was like a, what, 18th pick for a conference that's supposed to be as good as the Big Ten. You would think there would be more than, you know, Jaden Ivey and Hood Schifino going, but like, there's not a whole bunch of like game breakers in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, just wait until Trace Jackson Davis shows out in the Warriors when they trade, you know, Draymond Green, and they get rid of everybody.
Another team that's really thriving in the NBA. Oh, I did hate on Trace a lot because I find IU annoying. But, like, it's very apparent all the ways that he held that team together over the last, like, 4 years. And it's a shame that he never had shooting around him. I don't know what your guys' coaches were doing. It seems so simple that you should just add all the shooting you could get your NIL hands on. And they never did, and that's a crime because that could have been a really good team.
Everyone talks about now how Mike Woodson got carried by Trace Jackson Davis and especially Hood Schifino last year. And that one open scholarship spot, I don't know who they're waiting on, but I think it's a bit late to fill that. And I think at this point, you talk about fans jumping in the river after that Rutgers loss, everyone was all over Mike Woodson. So I guess it just runs in this state. I guess quickly, Casey, before we get out of here, what's your score prediction? You know, be as honest as possible here. Indiana's 10-point underdog, so anything works here.
Try to remember what I said earlier on the, I think I said 80-72 Purdue. I don't think it's going to be a slog. I think Purdue will jump out early because they were so bad to start the game there last year. I think they're going to try to do everything not to. And I just like, IU couldn't guard Edie with Trace Jackson Davis. I have my concerns that Renaud and Ware are capable of just holding up against him. And I think Purdue is going to jump out to about a 15-point lead. And then I think IU will have a good five-minute burst late in the second half to tighten things up a little bit.
Pretty solid. I think if Austin and I were given score predictions, I think that's pretty safe. I think things happen at the end to make it a little closer. But I think maybe a little less scoring. I'll go 75-71 Purdue.
Purdue's not good on defense. Right now they are not. Like,
Yeah, but Indiana isn't exactly the Harlem Globetrotters.
No.
The offensive side of the ball either.
Something like that. Last few years, it's, what was it, in the low 60s a few years ago in Indiana. Really did well offensively last year at home. Yeah, I'll say 72-66, that team that is that wears gold. I'll say they come into something else. We've said this. We don't think Indiana can afford to lose our home game this year. So this is almost everything. And IU is still lacking, doesn't have a quad one win yet.
Right. That's like IU has plenty to play for, because if you beat Purdue, like it's about the only damn ticket in the Big Ten that'll get you, you know, considered in the tournament if you don't have a profile. So they're definitely going to want it. I just hope it's not. The games in Assembly Hall have this tendency to be ugly as hell, and I would like that not to be the case.
Well, we'll hope for something better than the last few years we've seen at Assembly Hall. But Casey, thanks for coming on. It was a ton of fun. Host of the Old Gold Show. If you're a Purdue fan watching, I'm Jeff Goodman. That's Rob Doster. If you're an Indiana fan watching, I'm Bud Haller. That's Austin Platt. If you didn't know, tonight, 7 o'clock, Indiana plays Purdue, a team that has lost to a 12 seed, 13 seed, 15 seed, and 16 seed, I think, in the last 7 years or so. But
which is more tournament games than IU have had in, what, a decade?
I'd say about so.
Had a lot of fun, boys. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for tuning in. Indiana playing the number two team in the country, the Purdue Boilermakers, tonight at Assembly Hall. Thanks for listening to another edition of the House of Hoosier.